since I've been around, at one of the first meetings I was at, she was there, and I still remember it. And she shared about being so young and coming up on her 21st birthday and not knowing how to deal with it. And I wasn't that much older, so I could relate a lot. And it is very hard being younger in recovery. Luckily in my area, though, there's enough of us that we can lean on each other, and we have some older people to go to for guidance, but we can also relate to the younger ones that are around us. And so it's pretty cool that I got this. And my name is Haley from the Irwin Group of NA in the Central Westmoreland area.
Hi, my name is Haley. I'm an addict. I'm really nervous. Wow. Thank you, Jesse. That was really nice. Yesterday, I was asked to share youth and recovery, and I told my sponsor this morning I was so excited because I love this meeting. I look forward to it at the retreat. And this morning, whenever I was eating breakfast, some of my friends popped in and were like, "Hey, you're going to share." What? Okay, sounds great. It's an honor and a privilege. And I don't know, I get really nervous whenever I speak. I just don't want to skew the message at all, you know. I want it to be a clear, concise message of recovery. But I'm 22, so I guess that qualifies me for being youth in recovery. I started using whenever I was pretty young. I was in sixth grade. You know, I started just smoking weed and drinking and whatnot, and that's where I found that I fit in, because I moved around so much whenever I was younger that I didn't have that core group of friends that, you know, I remember going to school and people were like, "Oh yeah, we've known each other since kindergarten." And I was like, "I don't, you know any of you." So I felt really left out. So when I was in sixth grade, I moved to Pennsylvania from Georgia, and it was really rough for me because not only was it a new school, I had a thick southern accent, so nobody could understand me, and it was just really intimidating. And you know, of course, the people that I fit in with the best were the bad kids who were doing all the bad stuff. So, you know, they were the ones who were very quick to accept me. And I found outlets through that, not good outlets, bad outlets. And I don't know, man, my disease progressed so quickly. Before I knew it, I was going into ninth grade, and I had to drink before school. I used to have to take a Gatorade bottle to school full of vodka so that I wouldn't get the shakes. Just anything and everything that I could get my hands on, I did. And whatever, if I didn't know what it was, I was more than willing to try it. I remember somebody told me when I was younger that I was I had too much willingness, you know, I was too open-minded. And whenever I came here, you guys told me that's all I really needed was honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I was like, "Oh, I'm good. I'm set. I got this. I'll do well." And, you know, that did help me later on here. You know, I'll always try anything once. And, you know, obviously when I was a lot younger, that got me in a lot of trouble. But, so being young and, getting into the drug scene super early, I hung out with a lot of older kids that were way too old for me. And I had, an older boyfriend who was way too old for me. And I knew that, and I knew that he was, you know, no good, but that's what attracted me to him more. He was a heroin addict, and I didn't know. I had no idea what I was messing with. I was doing pills. I was doing everything except for sticking the needle in my arm. So therefore, not only was I better than you, but, you know, I wasn't an addict. I didn't have a problem. But anybody else could tell you, as soon as they saw me, she definitely has a drug problem. And, you know, this kid really introduced me to, that whole nother lifestyle that I knew nothing about. And, that's where things just really kicked off. You know, I'd always find, needles in his wallet and be like, "What? You don't have diabetes? I don't understand." And, you know, I caught on quick enough, you know, and eventually my house got raided because of him, and it was bad. Like, after they took him to jail, I remember, like, looking through all of his stuff, like, trying to figure out, like, what were they looking for, and I found it, you know, like, I found these little bags, and I didn't know what they were, and I had one of my friends with me, and I asked him, I was like, what is this, like, trying to be naive, you know, and he told me, he's like, you know what that is, and we didn't know what to do with it, so we ate it, and we started licking it, and, you know, obviously, I felt something from it, so, like, I remember that feeling I got from it, and I was, like, laying in bed, and I was like, oh, I get it now. Totally get it. I understand why he does, like, all the things that he does now in order to feel this feeling all the time. And it was, like, off to the races from there. I think I was, like, freshly 18 when that happened. And, I mean, it was bad. Before I knew it, like, I was kicked out of my house, my own house. I wasn't living with my parents at the time. And I was living in this dingy, dirty motel, and getting high, man, just getting it in. And, like, I remember the first time I stuck a needle in my arm was, like, very shortly after that. And, like, I remember whenever I felt that feeling, like, I saw my life flash before my eyes. Like, I knew, like, everything that I loved and cared about was going to leave because I knew what I was getting myself into. I knew that I loved that feeling way too much. Like, it was scary how much I loved that rush, and I did anything and everything possible to continue to feel that, and you know, that took me to, like, a lot of really dark places. Whenever I was 18, like, I did and saw things that I shouldn't have, like, I was places that I shouldn't have been, and doing things I shouldn't have been doing, and it was really sad. Like, I remember, I have a sister who's 4 years younger than me, so whenever I graduated, she went into high school. So, and that's, like, whenever, you know, things got really bad. Bad enough for people to start talking about it and, like, really, you know, gossiping or, you know, whatever. They were talking about me, and she heard all of it. And here I am supposed to be the older sister, like, setting this example, and instead, like, I remember telling her, do the exact opposite of what I'm doing. Like, I come home, like, real sick, and I'm like, this is what happens. And, like, don't do this. And, like, I remember one day I was, like, real strung out on coke and, like, ran out of money, and I went home. And I was like, look at me. I was like, don't ever do coke unless you have an endless amount of money, or this is what you're going to look like. Just, like, trying to warn her and, like, you know, take her, show her, like, I knew what was happening and it wasn't anything good. And, you know, like, I don't know, like, I wasted so much of my youth, like, using, like, I wasted so much time, like, doing nothing productive, absolutely nothing productive, and, you know, it sucks, like, looking back on it, but now I can look back on it and say, like, yeah, like, I went through these experiences that other people didn't get to go through, and yeah, some of them were really crappy, a lot of them were really crappy, but I get to learn something different from each one of them. Like, I was just talking to my mom not too long ago, about my life, basically, and how, like, I get this really cool opportunity in this program where, like, I came in whenever I was 18, and, you know, I started to, you know, get a feel for this thing, and I get to grow up in this program. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people don't get that opportunity, and it's really awesome to be able to not only grow spiritually, but, like, just grow as a person in this and, like, learn all about spiritual principles. It's like I get to start over again, you know? It's really awesome. You know, whenever I was 18, I went to my first meeting, and I didn't know what was happening. Same boyfriend who got taken out of the raid, got out of rehab, and I went to this meeting, and this kid that he went to rehab with came and picked him up. And was like, hey, we're going to go. And I was like, well, you can't just take him from me and leave. Like, you just got home. I'm coming with you. And, like, I tried to do, like, the good girlfriend thing, like, get a good job and get an apartment for when he comes out and stay clean. So, like, you know, I stopped in probably maybe like a, I legitimately tried like a month before he got out, but it didn't work. Like, I couldn't stop using. I couldn't. So by the time he got out, like, I mean, I used that night, so I was going to use that day as, like, you know, my final stop day. And I went to this meeting, and, like, I remember walking in there. We were a little late. I don't remember, like, what anybody was talking about. I don't really remember. What I remember was the feeling that I got whenever I walked in. Like, I got this feeling of love. Like, it was overwhelming. And I didn't know anybody. I had no idea. Like, I barely remember faces. Like, there's a few people that I remember seeing there. And I remember whenever it was over, like, all of these people coming up and hugging me because they never saw me. And they were like, welcome home. I'm like, what? Thanks. This is my house. Like, I was just really confused. And, you know, like, but I felt something. And, like, people wanted to hug me. They wanted to talk to me. They wanted to hear about, like, my life and, like, what I was going through. And I was so confused because I hadn't had that for so long. Like, the only thing people wanted from me was, like, what I had or what I could get or what I could help them get. So, like, people asking me, like, how's your day? I was like, what? I don't, it's fine. And, you know, like, I kept going to these meetings and, you know, I went for this feeling that I got. And I didn't stop using. I tried. I tried so hard. Like, I kept telling myself, like, I'll just use after the meeting because that's really rude to go to a meeting high. Like, I can't do that. And, you know, eventually that didn't work. And, you know, I just kept, I kept getting high. But, like, I knew deep down inside, like, this is where I was going to get it. I knew this is where I was going to get clean and this is where I wanted to be. I just didn't know how to get here again, you know. And so I found myself in rehab. I was in this really abusive relationship at the time, and I ended up just packing up my apartment, like, literally the bare minimum, so it looked like I was still there, like, still coffee in the coffee pot. And I left it, and I went to rehab for the first time, and it was a pretty interesting experience. You know, I learned a lot. I remember when my mom came to visit me, I told her everything. I was like, if I'm hanging out with this person, if I look like this, if I'm doing this, I'm getting high. And, like, I completely outed everything. Because, like, I was so scared to get high again. Like, I wanted to stay clean so bad. And I remember they told me something about a halfway house, and I was like, I'll try it. Like, I'm homeless, might as well. And I went out to Washington, and I stayed in this halfway house, and you know, I met, like, a lot of really cool young people there, and, like, we hung out and had a blast and did a lot of fun stuff. And, you know, eventually I got into this relationship and ended up using again. And, like, that really sucked. That hurt because I was working a program, you know, and I relapsed, and it hurt so bad. I had, like, 6 months clean. And I thought, like, and, you know, like Jesse said, like, whenever I was 18, I was thinking about my 21st birthday. Like, I could not live in today. Like, I was constantly thinking ahead. Like, I need, like, what am I going to do for my 21st birthday? Like, I already had it planned. Like, I know that I'm going to have to get high before, so, like, I don't have to explain to these people in these meetings, like, what happened. Like, I want to drink. And, you know, by the time my 21st birthday came around, I was already clean for, you know, a couple of months. And, like, I had this really great support group. I had an amazing support group. I still do. I have a sponsor who I love so much, and I say this all the time, that if you don't have the best sponsor and I have to offer, you need a new sponsor. Because she seriously has saved my life more than I think she even knows. And, you know, like, it was this really great experience. Like, I got to be there with my mom. My mom was actually talking to me. I got to be there with my sister. She actually acknowledged my existence. I was there with my sponsor and her daughter and, like, a couple of my friends. And all I wanted to do on my 21st birthday was eat deep fried pickles and go to a meeting. Like, how cool is that? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't care for drinking. I didn't care for any of that. But I was, like, working a program up until that point. And I talked about it until, seriously, I was making myself sick hearing of it. So that really helped me get through it. And, like, people were there to support me. And, you know, like, I always think to myself, and I say this too, I gave up that right support me. You know, like whenever I was younger, I had this idea set in my head that I have this God-given right to party. And it was all because of the Beastie Boys, I'm telling you. And I, you know, I realized that, like, I abused that privilege. You know, like, that's a privilege to be able to, like, go out to the bars and drink successfully. You know, like, only a certain amount of people can do that. And I'm not one of those people who can handle that. And, like, I went to the bars. I experienced that stuff when I was too young, you know. Like, I've been there, done all that. So it wasn't really, like, a big deal whenever I didn't go. And, you know, now, like, I don't know. I'm so grateful for the people that I have in my life because we are all young. And we all get together and we go bowling sometimes. I didn't even know that I liked bowling until I got clean, you know. Like, I always thought that that was really lame, going bowling, but apparently it's a blast, and I love it. And, you know, we go mini golfing, we do stuff, we load up a carload of people, couple carloads, and go to out-of-town meetings. That is the best time ever. It's like just drives, long drives, singing and talking and having a blast with people. It's like one of my favorite things to do. I learned so much about my friends, and I learned, like, so much about myself and recovery in those car rides. Like, I get more out of those than out of the meetings sometimes. And, I don't know. I'm so grateful for this process and for being able to get it whenever I did. Even though I didn't get it whenever I was 18, like, I wanted to, you know, like, there's a reason why I got it whenever I did. And, you know, what really sucks is, being 22 and lost and losing as many friends as I have. Like, it's completely ridiculous how many people I've lost to this disease. And they keep getting younger and younger. Like, back in February, my friend died, and he was only 18. And this kid, I was taken into meetings when he was 16, and I was 18. And, like, I remember looking up to him and being like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe you're doing this. This is so cool. And I remember telling him every single day that he got in my car to go to a meeting, like, I am so proud of you. You are my inspiration. I can't believe that you're doing this in high school. Like, I wish I could have done that. And, you know, eventually, like, high school got the best of him, you know. Like, he didn't want to give up his friends. And he went back out, and eventually he died. And it's really sad, man. Like, it's so sad. I wish that I could just give this to everybody that I have, you know. Like, this feeling that I have, this recovery that I have, I wish that I could just, like, give it to people or smack them and they can have it. And it just doesn't work like that. And I have to be here to set an example for all the people that come in, you know. It's hard because in our area, whenever I first started coming around when I was 18, man, like, I was one of the youngest people in the meeting. At that time, everybody was old enough to be my dad or my grandparents. Like, they were so old. And, like, to me, because I was 18, like, they were probably, like, 20-something, and I was just, like, freaking out about it, you know. But, you know, I let them run me out of the rooms. They told me that I was really young. They always commented on how young I was. And it was probably like I did to my friends, like, I'm so proud of you for doing this, but, you know, they told me that I hadn't experienced this, and I hadn't experienced that, and I took that as a challenge. And eventually, like, I would use that stuff to disqualify me and to, like, be able to push you guys away from me. And now, like, I don't have, I experienced it all. I went and I did it. Like, I had this check mark, and I checked everything off of this checklist, you know? And it doesn't have to be like that. And, you know, it's really, really cool because every time I come to these retreats, like, everybody gets younger and younger. And, like, it's really awesome to see it. And I keep getting older and older, and it makes me really sad. But, I don't know, like, it's such an honor to be able to speak at this meeting because, like I said, like, I look forward to this so much because, I didn't know that there was youth in recovery at one point. Like, I didn't know that you could get clean whenever you're young. I had no idea that that was even possible. I thought that, you know, people just waited till they were old and then, you know, they either died or they decided to do this. And it doesn't have to be like that, you know. And, like, I got a sponsor who I love and adore. She's the most amazing person ever. And I got this home group where they needed a service position filled. And my sponsor, like, shoved service down my throat. Like, even whenever I was still using, whenever I relapsed, I had good area with her. because I wanted this so bad, and she told me every pamphlet that I stamped was another second clean, and I did, you know, and, like, yeah, I might have been high at the time, but, like, something stuck, and I hold service very close to me, because I know that's what helps keep a lot of people clean, and sometimes I think, too, like, whenever I have a service position, like, I can't get high, I gotta do this. Like, if I get high, then, like, who's going to share the GSR report? If I get high, like, who's going to count all these pamphlets, you know? And, you know, that sometimes is, like, what keeps me going is, I don't know, it's a really amazing process to be able to come here and be completely naive about life and, like, not know. Like, I heard a speaker say one time that, when we first come here, like, we have that gift of ignorance where we just don't know. We just don't know. And I really didn't. And then now, like, every time I relapse, like, I didn't have that gift of ignorance, you know. I have that gift of pain and desperation, you know. I traded that in for a different gift. And now I have the gift of recovery. And it's such an amazing, amazing feeling to be able to, like, be young and be clean and I'm a productive member of society today. Like, who would have thought that I would have keys to, like, a multi-million-dollar store? Like, they trust me to open the store, to tell the employees what to do. They trust me to open the registers, close the registers, not take any money, not steal anything. It's crazy. I can't even believe it. When they gave me the keys, I started crying, and, like, I wanted to say, do you know who I am? You know me. Let me tell you about me, and you don't want to give these to me. And it's so incredible that, like, somebody trusts me enough. Like, oh, my God, it's amazing. And, like, whenever I went for the interview, it's so funny because they asked me about myself, and everything that I learned about myself I learned here. And, like, they always ask me about qualities, like, my good qualities, and, like, all those I learned here. I didn't really have those whenever I came. I picked them up whenever I got here. Like, being honest, being, like, teachable, remaining teachable, that's huge for me. Like, I learn from people every single day if I let them teach me. You know, all I have to do is, like, keep my ears open, and I'll hear something that amazes me every day. And, I don't know, just stay. Don't keep coming back, just stay. You don't have to go anywhere. People will love you until you love yourself. Just trust in the process I did. And I'm just really grateful to be here and be alive. And you guys, like, aren't at my viewing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really glad that you guys are here and you can see me speak and listen to me, you know. And it's, like, a thing of happiness, not sadness. And that's all I have. Thanks.